Good afternoon. Today we close the Christmas season. It's been a beautiful season. It is wonderful to reflect on the many stories of the events of the birth of Christ during the Christmas liturgies and the Christmas season, when Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem to be enrolled in fulfillment of the census, and it was there that the child, the Christ child, was born. Bethlehem was a quiet little town 6 miles south of Jerusalem. The name Bethlehem means the house of bread, as it stood in fertile country, and it is aptly named. I've been to Bethlehem twice. Kind of makes me sad, actually, as the town of Christ's birth is caught right in the middle of the troubles in the Middle East. Christians have practically been eliminated from the region, a further incentive for us to pray for peace in the Middle East. Bethlehem stands high on a gray limestone ridge, more than 2,500 feet in height, and is nestled in a series of hills. One night, a new star appeared in the heavens above those hills, prompting a group of men to go on pilgrimage. The mysterious characters that history has called the Magi or the Wise Men, we always assign that it's three of them, and it just says men from the East. We have no idea how many came. And the consensus of history has since judged them to be wise indeed. In addition to their openness to God, they knew the joy of giving gifts, and they knew how to pick those gifts that spoke mightily of the recipient. For example, it was the custom that no one would ever approach a king without first bringing a gift. Gold was a precious metal that was fit for a king. So one of the wise men brought a gold. Frankincense was a great gift for a priest. The sweet perfume was used during temple sacrifices. And the function of a priest is to open the way to God. The Latin word for priest means bridge builder. The priest was the man who builds a bridge between humanity and God himself. And finally, myrrh. It's a strange gift to give to a child. Myrrh was used to anoint and preserve the bodies of the dead. An interesting gift for a newborn king. The astrologer who presented myrrh was making a prediction about Jesus' destiny. That is, Jesus came into the world to free us from our sins by dying for us. So gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, myrrh for one who was to die. These were the wise gifts of the astrologers from the East, gifts which foretold that Christ is the true king, the high priest, and the perfect sacrifice given for our salvation. But the Magi were also wise in their flexibility and their ability to change course when necessary. As the gospel relates, they went home by another route, by another way. This is one of my favorite parts of the Feast of Epiphany, that they changed directions in their return to the East. We are called to do the same, to change as we return to our daily lives after the Christmas season. Change is inevitable. It happens to all of us. Life is a succession of changes, actually, even as we grow old. And for men and women of faith, we recognize in these changes the sacrifice of personal plans for the sake of others, say, through the birth of a child or the sickness of a relative, the change in our hearts as we mature in faith, the change in the souls of Christ slowly heals our sinful ways. We know that God reveals himself in change, in strange ways, often prompting us to change. Just look at the scriptural signs that transformed the lives of countless followers of the infancy narratives. To simple shepherds, for example, God spoke to the angelic sounds of music ringing in the night, and they were changed. Known as rough rednecks, the shepherds changed, making their way to God, to the Christ child in the manger of Bethlehem to do him homage, to the wise men, the Gentiles from the East, who were attuned to the heavens but had little knowledge of the language of faith or the person of God. He spoke through a miraculous star, and they were changed. Simeon and Anna, who waited for the Messianic age, were changed by the appearance of the Christ child when he was presented in the temple by his parents. To temple theologians, God spoke through the precocious answers of a 12-year-old child when he was presented in the actually when he was on pilgrimage and everyone was changed. Later, to Peter the fisherman, God spoke through a miraculous catch of fish, and he left all things behind and followed Jesus, and his life was changed forever. To Paul the tent maker, Jesus spoke through Saint Stephen in his martyrdom, and a voice on the road, and he preached to the Gentiles, changing the course, literally, of human history as the early church was born. And God still speaks to us today, stopping Christians often in the dead of their tracks and telling them to change course. Epiphany's conclusion that the astrologers returned home by a different route challenges us to ask a simple question. How does our vantage point in life need to change after Christmas so that we can truly find the Lord, the Christ child, Jesus? Where in the midst of our plans is there room for God's unexpected appearance? He comes in various ways to us today, in our families, throughout our friendships, in the poor, the sick, the dying, the lonely, and the stranger. Yes, if we know anything as Christians, we know that he comes, and often when we least expect him. Yet how many times, even in the Christmas season, we go rushing about with our long to-do lists in hand, and we have missed him? Have we found ourselves rushing past his presence, half-consciously making a resolution to schedule some time soon to be more generous and present in the Eucharist, in our adoration chapel, to those in need? You know, I was reading a commentary the other day about the Epiphany, and there was an interesting statement that I have been pondering. That is, Christ is inconvenient. In other words, just as the citizens of Bethlehem needed to make room for Jesus, making time for Jesus, we need to do the same if we truly are going to grow in faith, if we truly believe that we want to grow in faith. Sure, when we come to Mass, Jesus is here. When we go to confession, Jesus is there. When we pick up a Bible, Christ is at our side. But Christ is also there when we don't seem to have the time, when we weren't planning on it, when our schedule is already full. Will we stop and make room for him? Perhaps he is calling us during the new year to change directions, to become more aware of his of our own visitation when he comes. But we don't want to be like Herod and so many others who blew it, who missed the glory of the Lord because they understood nothing but their own selfish wants and selfish needs. The feast of the Epiphany is the feast of broken schedules, when our salvation was made possible, when Mary said yes, and Joseph said yes, and the shepherds, and finally the Magi said yes, even though they had other plans in mind. Think of the awesome promise of this feast, that today, the feast of the Epiphany, you will meet Jesus Christ inside and beyond these walls. He will make himself manifest in inconvenient people. And at very unplanned moments, kind of exciting, really. What surprise is in store for us during this new year? Let us pray for the same gift that God gave the wise men, the power to see an unexpected star in the midst of all the usual stars in the nighttime sky. May we see the unexpected Christ as he comes to us in the midst of all the usual things in our busy schedules. May we believe that these interruptions that will come to help us understand God's will for each of us. So as we return home, may it be by a different route. May the gift of the Christmas star, which changed three lives and millions of other lives since, shine on us throughout the whole year and encourage us to live holier lives.